Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Buchady, now joined by Jay Heidrick, former K-State basketball player, wearing his proud purple today as Kansas State defeats Kentucky last night in the Sweet 16. As heard right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, your home of March Madness and the NCAA tournament, your radio home in Kansas City. K-State beats Kentucky 61-58, and I'll say it again, Jay Heidrick, listen to what I say. Kansas State will play Loyola Chicago on Saturday for the right to go to the Final Four. Has that been able to sink in yet?
Ask Fran Fraschello about it.
I'm so tired, but I can't go to sleep at all.
I'm so tired.
That's phenomenal.
You're a level-headed man. You're a man of law. you played the game of basketball. You could look at this from many different perspectives, but Kansas State is playing Loyola in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. I feel like I've seen everything in sports. That's blowing my mind right now. I can't wrap my head around it.
No, I can't either, especially as a K-State basketball fan. You know, as a football fan, we've been close a couple times to playing for a national championship. But basketball, in my lifetime since I've been a K-State fan, 2010 in Salt Lake City when we lost to Butler, was as close as it's gotten. And
what a game that was.
And that was, and then you had the Xavier game before that. So this, it's just so much fun when your basketball team does well, and you can cheer for them. And hats off to the kids, the staff. You know, myself included. Coach Weber's had a lot of doubters this year, but you know, I'll take my crow medium rare because he's done it all. He's got this team playing hard. This team believes. This team is guarding. And basically, they showed up last night and just beat the hell out of Kentucky. I mean, it's like, I was thinking about an analogy, and it's kind of like Joe Pesci from Goodfellas. You know, the smallest guy in the room, but he beats the crap out of everybody, and that's what K-State did last night. They were outgunned, outmanned, smallest people on the floor, but they just wanted it more than Kentucky. And those are things that are instilled by your head coach and your assistant coaches, and that's a culture that at times K-State's been lacking the last couple of years. And it's great to finally see it start to gel and come around. And kudos to the staff and the kids.
Do you think that Kentucky is still alive in K-State's trunk while K-State's eating dinner like at midnight at their mom's house?
Only if Bruce wants them to be.
Right. See? That's a Goodfellas reference. Nate's looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Remember, because
now I get it. I was like,
he's out there in the trunk.
Connection,
Joe Pesci.
It's crazy. It's crazy how the tournament works, because you know, we've talked about it. Of all the K-State teams to be in this position, this is the one. Now, in some ways, like you could say, well, yeah, I mean they've got better maybe senior leadership than they have, you know, the last couple years. They've got some things going for them, but I don't think anybody would say, yeah, this is like the best K-State team we've seen since 1964. You know, but they might be the first K-State team to go to the Final Four. It takes a few things to come together for that to happen. Nobody would argue that 1988 team was KU's best team. And even in the Bill Self era, the team that went to the national title game in the 2012, I don't think many people would say that was one of his four or five best teams.
Best team or best players?
Well,
that's the difference.
But it's also just the way the tournament kind of comes together. Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying it's all because the bracket fell the way that it did. They had to go beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like it's all that happens at the same time. They're doing it without Dean Wade, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that is what's unbelievable about it. And people will say that, you know, you Maryland Baltimore County knocked off Virginia, so K-State got a gift there. But K-State's doing it without their best player. And K-State's doing it with a bench and with kids who all year haven't really contributed, who haven't been there. I mean, just look at last night. How many different kids made huge plays? Mike McGurl scored 3 points, but it may have been the biggest three-pointer K-State needed in the first half when Kentucky was making a run.
How about that steal that he had?
Yeah.
And that beautiful pass on the fast break that led to led to a layup.
Yeah.
That was a huge sequence.
I mean, and Kentucky would get rolling and K-State would just answer. And the start was huge because it gave them a cushion that they could play with the lead. Cartier Jada, I think, maybe had 5 or 6 points last night. Had a huge and one in the second towards the end of the game. Had a huge loose ball recovery and a timeout that led to a bucket after that. Ahmad Wainwright, who hasn't done anything, stepped up, made free throws. I mean, people. It's not only that that their bench is stepping up, but people who haven't done much a whole lot. Are stepping up, and it gets down to the core fact of they're guarding. I mean, Kentucky hadn't seen defense like that all year, and it was also a great, great game plan. Knox was just so frustrated because they face guarded them all night, and he didn't know how to get open. He didn't know where to cut. He didn't know what to do, and they recognize that we got to throw something different at Kentucky. We can't just line up and play. And they confused them. I mean, they're as talented as they are. They're freshmen. They've never been on this scene, and K-State's never been in the Sweet 16, or these kids haven't before either. But K-State, I thought, held the advantage of experience, and Kentucky really that really showed last night.
You know, to your point about the way the bracket fell, I got in that big argument with Trini earlier this year when she was talking about all the breaks that the New England Patriots have gotten, and I don't have time for it because. You can also list all the things that have gone against the Patriots during that time. They've been, you know, they've had their quarterback suspended by the league. They've had every great skill position player injured from time to time, but they just go out and they take advantage of the breaks.
First round draft picks taken from them.
Yeah, I mean, but they take advantage of the breaks. We only notice the breaks for the team that won, right? Yeah. You know, oh well, they got a break here, there, and on the flip side, you make the team that loses makes the excuses. You know that well. We didn't get this call. That technical foul went against us or whatever. Well, you know what? This is what I do think that's one of the things that a lot of K-State fans had a problem with Bruce about, you know, up until this point was they felt like there was a lot of kind of complaining about things that didn't go our way, so to speak. You know what? You lost your best player, a first team all Big 12 player. I don't want to hear anybody talking about, well, the bracket, they caught a big break with the bracket. You know, they lost a first team all Big 12 player and they're winning games.
And it's not like they're Kentucky or KU or Duke and have three McDonald's All Americans sitting on the bench either to go replace them. I mean,
they won that game with a bunch of guards on the floor last night.
I mean, my high school basketball team had a taller starting lineup than K State did finishing the game last night against Kentucky. I mean, it was unbelievable.
And for this team to be able, okay, they started off 13-1. And nobody saw that coming, right? And so, but you knew Kentucky was going to go on a run, and there were a couple of times in the second half, late in the game, when it appeared that Kentucky was ready to take over, and they, you know, won the game by 4, 5, 6 points, whatever. But every time K-State answered and wouldn't let them take over, and that was more impressive to me than the start. Because you knew Kentucky was going to go on a run, and the fear was K-State would go in an offensive funk and not score, and they kind of did, but they were able to overcome it. Like you said, they hit these big shots every time it seemed like Kentucky was ready to take over. That is what you look for. That's mental toughness, despite all the fouls and everything else. I mean, that's a quality that you don't know about until it's tested, and it looks like on the biggest stage against a team that everyone was picking to win, man, K-State came through with flying colors with those intangibles that you need.
Yeah, they just kept guarding. I mean, at the end of the day, they were tougher than Kentucky, and they didn't let the fact that they were having a hard time on offense in the first half get to them, and they kept guarding. If you can guard, you can stay in a game, and K-State did that last night. And It's just been fun to watch. It's not, you know, I've said it, and I know Sam Mellinger's been on your show, said it too, and we've talked to a lot of different people, that this K-State team should be better than it is when you look at them. And I was thinking about that last night, and maybe they are. It's just how they do it. I mean, they're not a pretty team. They're not going to, you know, get a bunch of lobs and highlight reels. They're just going to grind you out. They're going to win games 62-58 or things like that. And And it's not going to be real pretty, but they're going to get it done. And that's a good ball club just because you can't score against them. They would have lost this game last year. They would have lost the Maryland-Baltimore County game last year. I mean, those slugfests. But they've just developed the mental and physical toughness to win these grinder games.
Did you hear what Ahmad Wainwright said when he was asked how he came up with that big rebound at the end?
Kansas City, Missouri.
And then he kissed his bicep. Yep.
Yeah, that's heard right. That. That's good.
I mean, I love that. I mean, and one other thing I wanted to ask you about from the post game, the video that the K-State basketball Twitter account sent out.
That was awesome.
Explain who Ernie is for people that don't know and why that was so meaningful. And to see him forcefully embrace every player. And he hugged Barry Brown at the beginning and then at the end. And then it looked like he lunged and attacked Bruce Weber and had him in a vice grip, which I liked. So give us the background so we could properly appreciate that.
That's Ernie. Ernie is Mr. K-State. He's a former basketball player at K-State. He's a former athletic director. He's been associated with K-State probably since he was born. There's a statue of him outside Bramlage Coliseum of him extending his hand for a handshake because Ernie has these giant meat claw hands.
Oh yeah, and we saw him last night in that video.
And he's always known for he'll go shake your hand and he will just crush it. I think I still have permanent damage to my hand from the first time I met Ernie Barrett.
Is that why your finger bends?
Yeah,
way?
Exactly. Right. That's so we 1951 K-State played Kentucky in the national title game, and Ernie Barrett had hurt his arm in the semifinal game, and he wasn't able to play that game, and K-State lost by like 8 or 10 points or something like that, and. So Kentucky's always had a spot in Ernie's history, and so when they
and
won
K-State
last night,
K-State has never beaten Kentucky.
K-State's never beaten Kentucky. That's right.
So. Vahe Gregorian, I guess, went up to him and was talking to him before the game, and he said he was still mad about the shoulder injury that kept him out of that national championship game. And he told Vahe, he goes, if K-State beats Kentucky, he said he was considering storming the court.
And he would, right? He would. I don't know how old Ernie is, but he's getting up there in age. But I wouldn't mess with Ernie. Ernie is the epitome of K-State. He is what K-State is, and that's why he's named Mr. K-State.
He played for the Celtics too.
And this team's a lot like that. I mean, let's go back to the KU game at Allen Fieldhouse where Barry Brown struggled at the end of that game and made a poor decision on what that set was. And Dean Wade is sitting wide open for a three-pointer to win the game. And Barry Brown takes a guarded three-pointer, just a debacle of an in-game scenario. First thing Dean Wade tweets out after the game is, Barry Brown's my guy. I ride with Barry. And he said that in the postgame. That's just something that shows how close this team is. And that allows you to go into games like this when you have a closeness of it and have a kind of a me-against-the-world attitude. And have guys step up when you're playing as a true team and not individuals.
So one of the great things about March too is the heroes that emerge, unlikely heroes. Sometimes guys that maybe through the course of the season we didn't expect to become stars. We know Xavier Sneed's got ability. He's a good player, but he had the best game of his entire year.
Oh boy,
man, I'm getting choked up thinking about Xavier Sneed.
Unbelievable.
Best game of his entire year in the Sweet 16 against Kentucky. He goes for 22 points, 5 of 8. And I feel like I've heard from K-State fans a little frustration about Xavier Sneed through the course of the year off and on.
I feel good because I've touted him because I followed him when he was in St. Louis. Because I wanted him to play for Missouri and he didn't want to. I'm not even sure how much they recruited him.
Well,
because you know the whole process there was
Cam Anderson was going
style.
For a different type of
kind
player.
Of an issue.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't
but that
fit
was
their
his
game.
That
yeah.
his career. Yeah. I know it was his
evaluation
season
process.
High. Yeah, I know that was the season. I don't know if that was his career high or not. But what were you thinking as you watched him have that game last night? That was his career high.
He was one of the few guys on the floor that had the length and athleticism that could compete with Kentucky. He and Barry Brown, and he had to have it. I was so frustrated when he got his third foul with 59 seconds to go in the first half, and I thought that may end up costing us the game.
I thought the fifth foul might cost you the game. I thought that was a really stupid play.
Yeah. And
was it a foul?
I don't know, but it was stupid to reach in there.
You don't
anyway.
Do that. Yeah, you don't even try that with four fouls.
Yeah, especially the way they were calling that game.
Yeah, exactly. And he was key last night. I mean, he hit big shots early. He had 22 points, but his rebounding on the other end. I mean, how many times did you see a ball go up and just arms and bodies flailing, and all of a sudden X comes down with it?
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to a toughness, and it wasn't just X. I mean, Mike McGurl had a big rebound, offensive rebound where he got a jump ball, and the ball stayed with K-State. I mean, just everybody last night did something, and some people did more than others, but everyone did something last night, and that's what's made it so special.
Okay, I don't know what to make of the Dean Wade situation. He plays 8 minutes, and I know he didn't look great on it, and Bruce Weber said on the halftime interview, look, we got a minutes limit. But I sure thought at the end of the game, when everybody on the team is fouled out and you got no size whatsoever, if he could give you 8 minutes in the first half, can he not give you 2 minutes?
If Kentucky would have hit that game-tying three-pointer, do you think Bruce Weber would have played Dean Wade in the overtime?
It didn't even look like it was a consideration. I mean, it looked like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if something happened at that time where they're like, look, he can't go. Because clearly, if you're Dean Wade, if there's any way in the world you could go, you go, right? Like, you're begging the coach to go in the
game,
right?
You think, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know what the injury is at all. But you'd think that if he could go, he would. Chris Weber kept talking about on the broadcast last night about how you might put Wade in for that last 2 minutes. And if he hasn't played the entire second half, you're not just going to put him in for the first 2 minutes. I would think at a minimum, if you have an injury that just sitting that long, I can tell you from personal experience, sitting that long and then having to get up for the last 2 minutes or a minute of a game is something that's tough to do.
But when you've got a lineup out there that everybody, as we talked about, everybody on the court's under 6'4", and you've got a 6'10 guy sitting right there,
is 6'4", who can move laterally and jump and 100% better than 6'10"? I mean, first half of that, he gave up a dunk to, I forget which Kentucky player it was, but the Kentucky kid just jab-stepped, and Wade went with him and then tried to recover as the kid went the other way, and the kid took one dribble and just elevated and about broke the backboard. And as soon as that happened, I looked at my wife and said, he just can't move right now. And he gave it a shot, and he gave him some good buckets. I mean, he had 6 points, something like that. So, again, he contributed, and K-State needed every point of it.
So, any chance that you think he'll play in the Elite Eight? Because I saw some people tweet out, I think they're kidding. Bruce Weber's a genius. He saved Dean Wade for Elite Eight, and now they're here. I mean, because what did Fitz say? Tim Fitzgerald say? How did he describe that injury yesterday? It was such a...
It doesn't make any sense. He said his bones were out of whack.
But they're like,
He said it's not they don't think it's a stress fracture. Who knows?
Like, have you heard anything like
no.
what exactly it is?
I heard it was a foot injury, and I heard it was a stress fracture, but I've heard the same thing you guys have had, that it's different things. You got a little King Kong Bundy up there?
I don't know what's happening right now. We're dumping King Kong Bundy's right now on an episode of Married with Children. So
look, foot injuries can be incredibly tricky. You've had a foot injury before, Stephen. I know you've been around in a walking boot. I broke my ankle down right where it meets the foot. There's a million bones down there. That also means there's a million tendons and ligaments and other things. And so who knows what it is? It sucks for him. I mean, can you imagine being Dean Wade sitting on the bench in that game as it goes down to the wire and your entire team is fouled out? And it's a 1 point game, and that had to have just been torture for him.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine what that'd be like. I mean,
if your foot doesn't work, you can't play. I mean, people would say, "Oh, tough it out, go out there and suck it up." But if you can't move, you can't play.
And even if you can it's one thing to tough it out, suck it up, and everything. But it's another thing to be effective. And
right.
I don't think people appreciate the level of athletes that are out there at the Division I level. I mean, even Loyola Chicago, who is, a mid-major, however you want to describe it, they have premier athletes. The players on their team are top 1% basketball players in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's people just don't understand. They need to get like Mr. Miyagi out there or something. Maybe he can help that, you know.
Anything.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I'm glad you brought up Loyola. So I wanted to ask you about this matchup now. Because,
right.
by the way, they're playing in the Elite Eight for the right to go to the Final Four. And again, Michigan, Florida State, Kansas State, Loyola. One of those teams will be playing in the national championship game. Jay Heidrick, leave your shirt on. Damn. I know you're excited, but what the hell. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Clayton, you and Ben experienced a lot of success in high school together. Have y'all gotten a chance to take some time and reflect on another postseason journey and sort of what this is like on top of that?
Yeah, I mean, me and Ben, we spend so much time together, just like when we're just sitting in our apartment or in the hotel room, and we're with each other all the time. And obviously during this stretch right now, whenever we're just sitting in our apartment hanging out together, we'll look at each other and we'll just be like, wow, like, we're really doing this together right now. And we couldn't be happier to be doing this with each other. It's been a dream come true for us. And I don't want it to end with him. So we're going to do whatever we possibly can do to keep playing together.
That is Clayton Custer, bracket buster. And something's got to give now.
You know, I loved the moment, Stephen, right after the game. You retweeted the interview that Clayton Custer did on the court after the game.
When he hugged the who's the reporter?
Mason.
What's her name?
Is it LaForce? Was it Allie LaForce last night?
Okay, I think so. But so she was interviewing Porter Moser, the head coach at Loyola, and so he Clayton Custer walks over and gives the coach a hug. Then he looks at her and he gives her a hug. She's you deserve a hug too.
Yeah.
And then he apologized later because he's sweaty. But so
yeah,
what?
Hey.
When you make the Elite Eight, you're trying to hug everybody.
That's right. I'll take any
and
hug
I'm here
I can
for
get.
It.
But you know who else he hugged? Right. I thought it was a really cool moment. The camera just happened to pick it up. As he was walking off from the interview, K-State was coming out onto the court to do their warm-ups for their game, and Mason Schoen, who they played basketball together at Blue Valley Northwest,
mm-hmm.
gave each other a quick hug, and I'm sure he wished him good luck and all that. I mean, I just thought it was a little quick moment, but how cool is that? Like, I just want a game to go to the Elite Eight. My old high school buddy is about to play in a game against Kentucky to try to go to the Elite Eight. Here we are in the same place. That's just a crazy...
What makes you think you wish him good luck? You sure he didn't say, I hope you lose? Boo.
Because I'd, you know.
Right.
Because he's disrespecting K-State. He didn't want Kentucky.
You know what? It's like, if you again, we had Ed Fritz on the show in studio. It's like, it's got to be mind-blowing right now, watching this unfold, watching this all happen.
Well, he's coached for 37 years,
yeah.
And I don't think he's ever had a player make it to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
In college. I mean, that's how rare 37 years of coaching just
right.
to put a kid into Division I is hard enough for a high school coach to have three kids that are in the Elite Eight.
Here we
in
go.
One
I'm gonna,
year.
I'm going to ask you guys to see what you think, because whenever you give an opinion about a broadcaster, then you there's a group of people that'll get angry. I like Chris Weber a lot as a color commentator. He's really good. I mean, and he gets, because I want somebody to get excited.
That's the thing.
To feel like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm enjoying this. I love this. I'm glad to be here. And not, you know, of course you take your work serious, but you know what? It's not politics. You're not covering something. It's a
not brain
game.
Surgery.
This is fun. And I really think that he has the right level of enthusiasm and knowledge in a nice mix. I really have enjoyed listening to Chris Weber, and I thought he did a great job. Jay?
I thought he did too. What I like about him is he doesn't try to do too much. I mean, you can tell some of these NBA or even the NCAA guys, they don't do their homework. They'll say things like, you know, K-State needs to run a set here to try to get Ahmad Wainwright an open three-pointer, you know, because
right.
you know, they just try to that's really their game, and you're like, no, that's not right. And, you know, Weber just – He describes what he calls. He throws in his basketball knowledge. He doesn't try to do too much. And I think he does a pretty good job.
I think there's one point they showed Sister Jean. He goes, and someone please ask Sister Jean to pray for me tonight. Good Lord. yeah, right. Add me to the list, please.
There were a couple times in his analysis I thought, I don't know how much he's watched K-State through the course of the year, which probably wasn't a ton. So I don't know that he knew the team. Like, I wouldn't say that was great, but what I thought was great, like you said, It was good analysis, but his energy level.
Yeah.
It's more important to me at this point.
I totally agree. I mean, and he knows the game. Like, he knows the game of basketball.
A little different than John Thompson on the clip that we played.
I like him too, though, by the way.
It's just like watching a game with your grandpa.
Yeah.
Wow. What a shot there. That was a good shot.
I just want people to be enthusiastic or excited to be doing their job.
I listen to a lot of John Thompson on the radio doing this, and I like him because he reminds me of my dad because he's mad at the refs the entire time. That's just a terrible call. Every time, I just love it. But, one little thing like with Weber, he caught, I can't remember if it was Stokes, which guy drove to the basket, and it might have been Knox or somebody for Kentucky went up to block the shot, and he grabbed the rim or grabbed the net to pull himself up a little bit. And Stokes immediately saw it. And I didn't catch it, but Weber caught it right away and said, oh, he grabbed the net. And that's why Stokes is so mad because he grabbed the net, and that should have been a goaltending. And then they went back and they showed the replay. Sure enough, he was right on. But those are the types of things that a guy like that Chris Weber catches might not.
And he may have caught it. And I mean, you guys know this too. Maybe a producer yelling in his ear too. But whatever it was, he saw it right away.
He saw it right away. Yeah.
So on Barry Brown's game winner, did Kentucky get a piece of that?
It looked like it to me.
Are you sure?
I thought he hit it.
I thought he got a piece of it.
It changed direction. Like, the ball changed direction out of his hand.
Because when Barry Brown went up.
I'm going to watch it again.
I thought, that's getting blocked. When he's getting blocked.
Every time anyone went up, I thought that's getting blocked.
And then when it went in, I was like.
When it showed the camera angle from behind the goal, it looked like he tipped it into the backboard and it hit off the
live, I thought he got a piece of it. And there was one replay that I thought he got a piece of it. Fired up and everything. Look, watch it again because I don't.
That was something.
If it wasn't, he got it with a fingernail or something, man, because that was so damn close.
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, it was so close on the tip, and it looked like.
Because I was sure, that's going to get blocked.
Just the tip.
But since I'm watching right now. I'm positive.
This is the angle
right there, Nate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or this one right here.
Yep. Yeah, he got a piece of it. He did. Yep. He blocked it into the backboard, and then it had the right English on it off the backboard to go in.
Yeah, that's the angle from behind the right hand. Hey,
show Jay Hodrick. Let's hear Jay Hodrick's on-air reaction to that. I couldn't, when he drove, oh no, and then it went like, hey, how did that happen?
I thought he was going to go around the other side, and
you can barely see it there. So watch it right here. You can see it a little bit there, but this is the one.
Either way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Looks like 2 points to me.
But you know what, though? And you know what? I thought Chris, that was
down
one thing
and
that
in.
Chris Weber kept saying during the game was, I love the fact that K-State keeps going in there. They're not just, because I was afraid for a while there, it looked like K-State was starting to settle for some outside shots. Yeah. And he said, you just have to keep going in there. And that's part of the reason they kept getting fouls on Kentucky. You have to challenge them. You can't be intimidated that they're going to block the shot. And I was thinking of that KUK State game when Barry Brown had it and settled for a pull-up three at the end of the game. And I thought that's what he was going to do. Because, by the way, Kentucky did not want Barry Brown to have the ball. Remember, they ran a double team at him out of nowhere. He had to give the ball up, but he was able to get it back. And then when he did, I thought, take it to the basket, man. Yep. Take it to the basket. Try to see if you can get a foul. Don't settle for a pull-up three. And he did. And I mean, that's why you go to the basket. Because, something good can happen even if they get a little piece of it.
You've got to attack length. When you have length and athleticism on the other side, you have to attack it. If you just try to set back and be passive against it, it'll eat you up.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, too, about Kansas State. And you tell me if Bruce Weber can continue to use this, because it's certainly there for him. They have not been the story in any of these games. So, the first game, what was the story? Marcus Foster gets to go up and get revenge against his old team. All right, Creighton. K-State ruined that party and just won. What was the story in the second round? UMBC, the first 16 seed. Cinderella, can you believe it? Well, K-State ruined that party. They move on. What was the story last night? Oh, Kentucky, they've got a clear path to the national championship game. This is basically the Kentucky Invitational. It's Kentucky and three other teams. Coach John Calipari has his team playing their best basketball at the right time. K-State ruins that story. And so now you go to the Elite Eight. I'm talking about here, of course, K-State's the story, but nationwide, what's the story? The True Cinderella, Loyola Chicago, and Sister Jean, and the Lord, baby Jesus, is rooting for Loyola Chicago. That's I'm just gonna assume. Baby Jesus is on their side.
Their little 6-pound, 8-ounce baby Jesus.
Right. Yeah. Up there rooting, like, come on, sister. And so, what's going on?
And
right
they
now?
Said, one of them said to me, Clayton said, "We broke your bracket, Sister Jean." I said, "I don't care that you broke my back bracket. I'm ready for the next one."
Clayton Custer, bracket buster, walks right up to Sister Jean, said, "Sorry, Sister Jean, we broke your bracket. I still love you. Give me a hug."
I'm glad they didn't break her back.
So well, that's about that's please.
It sounded originally like she said, you broke your back.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My
broke
back is broken.
Kansas City.
What, a vertebrae or well, what portion?
Spinal.
If you wonder why this show is so special, I can promise you we are the only show in America that has made any kind of comparison between Sister Jean and Mike Tyson.
Well, you're welcome.
And that's it.
Spinal.
And so, but that's true.
Yes.
Right? But here, the story's K-State, but everywhere else, the story has been the other team. Well, Bruce Weber, is that a motivating factor? Is he going to use us? Hey, no one wants us to win. Nobody wanted us to win against UMBC. Nobody wanted us to win against Kentucky. Nobody wants us to win against Loyola. But here we are.
Yeah,
screw everybody.
I mean, they've been playing with us against the world mentality all year, even against some of their own fans. And so they're gonna be more of the storyline, I think, on Saturday, because it will be two Cinderella teams, two unexpected teams to get there. And so they'll have their own run of media with it. But I honestly think that this K-State team couldn't care less what other people think about them. They're just going to go out there. They're going to play. They're going to play for the team. If you want to get on board, get on board. If you don't, that's great. But we're going forward without you. And so I
think they used it as motivation, man. Whoever the sideline reporter was, Allie LaForce or whoever it was, she did that report in the game and said that
it was Barry, Lisa Byington.
That's who I meant.
So thank you, Mary Hastings, for emailing me that.
Yeah,
Mary Hastings, you're the best.
You are.
Would you like to co-host the show?
Lisa Byington.
Byington.
She did a good job.
Byington.
But she did that report during the game and said that Barry Brown, every pregame huddle, reminded the team we were picked to finish eighth.
Yep.
In the Big 12, and then in this one, he said, We were reseeded 16th by the experts. The experts said we're the 16th best team left in this field. So they're using that as motivation, and they should. I would if I were K-State.
Here's one more. Bryce wants to know if any of us saw when Greg Gumbel in the post game.
I did see this.
Referred to K-State as the K-State Jayhawks.
Yep. Yeah.
And he stumbled all over. He's like, the Kansas.
They didn't see that one.
The Kansas. Yes, the Kansas State Jayhawks. Yeah, I saw
Here
it.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jay, how did that sit with you?
Oh, great. Yeah, we love it when that happens. I bet KU fans love it when that happens too. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh yeah. Or when the Kansas State Jayhawks. I've seen that a couple times in. Okay. Yeah, or the Kansas Wildcats. Yeah.
Somebody else tweeted this out.
We're just flyover country to them.
Who the hell was it? It was one of the national college basketball writers. Oh, I think it might have been Dan Wetzel. So, like, it looks like their future's bright with Brad Underwood.
Yeah.
To bring Brad Underwood in the situation. But they had a bad season this year. So, like, if you're an Illinois fan, like, how are you going to take this game in? Like, okay, there's the coach that we fired in the Elite Eight, and there's a school in Chicago. Oh,
K-State fan from last year, I can give you some pointers on how to make that happen.
Right, so you went through that, right?
On how to get through that.
Here's something for you. This Elite Eight game is going to feature a coach who was fired by Illinois against a coach who was fired by Illinois State.
Porter Moser, right?
How crazy is that?
Yeah, well, isn't there... I guess...
Who was the AD at Illinois State when...
This could also have a coach that was fired by Southern Illinois. Didn't Bruce was at Southern Illinois, wasn't he? Before he went to Illinois, and
but
then,
did he leave?
And then
he left.
But his assistant Chris Lowry took over, and he was fired too.
So the assistant coach was fired by Southern Illinois,
and then Bill Self is involved tonight. So,
State of Illinois.
Who was the AD at Illinois State when Porter Moser was there?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about that.
It's a question. You're the one that brought it up. I didn't. You brought it up. I didn't. It's an honest question I'm asking you.
I believe Shane Zenger was the athletic director at Illinois State when that happened.
So what?
I don't know. So what?
He's got himself a good basketball coach.
He does have a good basketball coach. Don't fire Bill Self.
Got himself a nice billboard, too. No.
You know,
Did they take that down? Somebody told me they took that down.
You're
already
behind that.
Yeah. Are you behind that?
You think I got that kind of pockets? And
I think you have those kind of connections.
You do have those kind of connections.
And do you, if I did have that kind of money, you think that's where I'd be spending it?
No, you'd be in Denver, Colorado right now.
Is there a seat next to you on that plane?
That's no kidding.
You need a spotter?
Okay, so Jay, before we let you go.
Come on out, buddy.
Because you have to go actually do real things in the real world. So what just an idea of what you think of this matchup against Loyola Chicago?
This will be a fun game to watch because it's going to be four out, one in. Loyola Chicago is going to play four guards. K-State is going to play four guards. I want to say it'll be a little more up-tempo, a little more higher scoring, but neither one of these teams has really shown that to be the case. I think both teams are going to guard. This is going to be a slugfest. I mean, it's going to be fun to watch. K-State's really going to have to execute. I mean, last night, K-State actually had some advantages in some places because it forced Kentucky's bigs to come out on the floor and guard them and put them in positions that they weren't normally used to. And that was exemplified by the fact that Kentucky was switching everything. So here, it'll be a little bit different in that the four guards that Loyola Chicago is going to play are used to this. They're used to playing the same type of style small ball that K-State is going to play. So it'll be a fun match. It'll be a fun game, I'll be a nervous wreck, but we'll see how it goes.
Where are you going to watch the game at?
I'm going to watch the game at my house. We have just a couple friends over, and I don't want to be in public for several reasons. If we lose or win, it's probably best that I'm confined to my own property.
Do you
run down Metcalf last night already wore me out. So
I mean, do you handle yourself okay, or do you like go crazy, or what? He said people will be over there. If they start talking too much, will you scream at them?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, right. But I'll probably be unsocial. I don't know, man. It's just going to be so much fun. It's so much fun to watch a team that just plays its heart out and lays it all on the line and that you really want to get behind. And it's awesome right now.
I'm happy for you, man. Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck. Just take it easy.
And K-Staters, if you're out there, if you can get to Atlanta, get to Atlanta. Otherwise, watch on TV and let's get to San Antonio.
That is Jay Heidrick, former K-State basketball player. We will take a break. When we come back, Gary Lezak will, we don't know what he'll talk about, but it's coming up next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.